You're listening to audio from Hardin Baptist Church. For more audio content or other information about our church, please visit hardinbaptist.org.
Amen. Violin and a flute. Let's go this morning. What a way to worship the Lord. Hopefully that got you ready to hear God's word. If you have your Bibles, go to Hebrews chapter 7. That's where we're going to be at. And before we begin, I just want to say I'm not a warranty guy. It's really hard for me to buy warranties. And like you go to Walmart, right, and you get the blender, and then you go to the checkout, and they're like, do you want the $4.99 warranty? I'm like, I mean, it's $30. $4.99, probably a good deal, but also if it does break, am I really going to have the paperwork, know who to call, have the number, have the right stuff? When I do call, they're going to be like, well, did you plug it in correctly? Did you push it? Like, it's not going to work out. I just always am skeptical of warranties, right? So my brother-in-law who's here, he works at Perkins Motorplex, and they have this sort of famous like warranty that they offer with all their cars. And we've bought a lot of cars from Perkins and you know, love their business, all the things. So we go, and I always go in like, not buying the warranty. Katie, I'm not buying the warranty. Tell me, don't buy the warranty. And so I get there, and so for instance, got my wife a van a few years ago. Logan finds it, great price. We get it all landed, and he's like, so, do you want the warranty? I'm like, nope, don't want it. He's like, well, you know. And you know, Logan, he's like, you know, sell a ketchup popsicle to a woman in white gloves. He's got it, like, starts talking. He's like, well, you know, that van's got a lot of electronics. I mean, if it weren't for those electronics, you'd probably be okay. But man, there's just a lot of things. Use a vehicle, you know, we think it's good, but we're not 100% sure. You never know what's going to happen, right? And you know, your wife might be dry. And then it's like, oh, you brought her in it. Okay, just fine. Give me the warranty, right? So we do it, get the warranty. And it's a good warranty, right? 120,000 miles, whatever happens. So he tells me, like, it's covered, right? I'm still honestly just a little skeptical. And I will say we've had to use it a few times in life of the van, and it worked out. Like, called the person, like, yeah, okay. I'm like, it's not a scam. This is okay. This is actual. This is real. I got a little money, got a little help. But I just want to be honest. When I get offered a warranty or a guarantee, just there's something about it, like, I'm just not sure this thing is going to go through. Any of you like that? Any of you a little skeptical about warranties and guarantees? Like, I don't know. I'm not sure you're actually going to go forward with this. Well, here's what I want to say this morning, that your salvation, we're going to learn in Hebrews chapter 7, comes with a guarantee. And the guarantee is the Lord Jesus. And so maybe some of you are a little skeptical. You've joined this Christian faith, you're clinging to Christ, and you're a little bit like, yeah, I'm not sure. Like, when I get to like 120,000 miles in this, like, what's gonna happen? Is this, am I gonna make it? Is this thing gonna pull through? Because I got a lot of things wrong with me too, right? I got a lot of issues. Here's what I say, Jesus knows that. And he's given you a warranty and a guarantee that whatever he started, he's going to finish. He's got you. And the reason he's got you is because when he saved you, he didn't save you almost. He saved you to the uttermost. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Jesus, your salvation, you are saved to the uttermost. And I want you to feel that and sort of just wallow in that for a moment. Because in Hebrews, we've been a little bit like, hey, are you sure that you know you might fall away? This might happen. And we talked about you can't lose your salvation, but you can fake it. And some of you have been a little troubled, kind of walking through that. Am I really in Christ? But hopefully this morning is going to be some comfort that if you are in Christ, here's what I want you to know. You have a guarantee, and his name is Jesus, and it's backed by God because he saved you to the uttermost. There is nothing left to do. You are complete in Christ. So if you have your Bibles, let's go to Hebrews chapter 7, where the preacher is going to tell us this great news. And if you'd stand out of reverence for the word of God, we're going to read a couple of verses, and then we're going to walk through this chapter. So if you look down with me at verse 22, here's what we read. This makes Jesus the guarantor of a better covenant. Verse 25, consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Let's pray together. Father, we love you so much. We thank you for Jesus, who is our guarantee, who saves us not almost, but to the uttermost, who is interceding on our behalf right now before you. Jesus is praying for us right now. And we can take great comfort that he's going to make sure that we make it to the end. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. You guys may be seated. So if you have your Bibles, just leave it open. Hebrews chapter 7. Last week, we saw verse 18. For on the one hand, a former command is set aside because of its weakness and uselessness. But on the other hand, a better hope is introduced through which we draw near to God. So the old system, the old priests, the old sacrifices under Aaron, they're obsolete now. They're weak. They can't actually save you. There is a new priest after the order of Melchizedek who is a better hope because he actually can save you to the uttermost, is what we're going to see. So he's trying to get a little congregation 2,000 years ago who were tempted to go back to Judaism. Don't go back. You have Jesus who is better. And perhaps some of you are tempted to go back to something else. Good works, try hard, do you? No, hold on to Jesus because Jesus is better. So let's think about our Jesus guarantee. It's the best guarantee in the whole world. Our Jesus guarantee. Notice what it says in verse 20. And it was not without an oath, for those who formerly became priests were made such without an oath, but this one was made a priest with an oath by the one who said to him, the Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever. This makes Jesus the guarantor of a better covenant. So notice, the old guys, the old priests, they never had an oath and a promise from God. They were just born into it. Their dad was a priest, so they become priests. Jesus is different. He became a priest not because his dad was a priest, but because his heavenly father chose him and swore, in other words, backed him to say, Jesus, I promise you are my priest. Backed by God is this guarantee that we see. Now, there's that word new covenant. He's our guarantee of a new covenant. And we're just going to put a pause in that because for the next 5 weeks, as we chase down Advent, as we go to Christmas, we're going to have a whole Christmas series called The Gift of the New Covenant. And it's going to be chapters 8 through 10. You're going to want to come. It's going to be awesome. Invite your friends. It's way better than any of your Amazon wish lists. You're already putting stuff on there. Guess what? We have the best gift in the world, and it's the gift of a new covenant that comes through Christ. So we're going to walk through that. So we're just going to put a pin in this idea of a new covenant. So I just want to think about him as our guarantor. What's a guarantor? It's someone who guarantees this thing that we're going to get, which is our salvation. We love a good guarantee. It's why you put your money in the bank. You don't Ron Swanson and bury it in their backyard and just hope for the best, right? Because the banks insure it, right? Up to $250,000 per account. That's way more than I got in there, so I'm good, right? Something happens, I get it back because it's insured. They promise it. They've got bars and vaults. I've got like drawers. So I'm going to go with the bank, putting my money there because it's insured, it's guaranteed, it's backed up, right? By the FDIC. You know what we're promised? Hey, Jesus, he's guaranteeing our salvation, and you know who's got him backed up? God. So your money's backed up by the bank. The bank's backed up by the insurance company, by the federal government. Guess what? God or Jesus, the guarantee, it's backed up by God. So I'm just going to say it's a pretty good guarantee. Like he's the guarantee. He's the promise that you are going to get what you have been promised because Jesus is the guarantee of this new covenant, the guarantee of your salvation. So if you're skeptical about warranties and guarantees, here's Jesus's. So let's walk through why Jesus is such a good guarantee. The first thing is that he can't die, which is really good news. The one who guarantees your salvation is the one who also can't die. Verse 23 says this, the former priests were many in number because they were prevented by death from continuing in the office, but he holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever. So all the other priests that this congregation have had, they have to be replaced. They always have to think who's going to take my spot because one day I'm going to die. I'm gonna get hit by a camel or I'm gonna die of old age. Like something's gonna happen to me, right? I'm going to die. Someone's gotta take my place. So whoever you're counting on to do your business before God, they're not always gonna be there. Like have you ever dealt with a massive company and you've had an issue and you had to call? And you call and you've had like this issue, maybe it's with insurance, maybe it's with a medical claim or something big in your life. It takes a little while to sort it out. And you call that big company and you talk to a guy, Mark. Mark's like, yeah, I got you. I'll help you out and kind of get you like a little bit down the road. And then you've got to do some other stuff. You got to figure some things out. A few weeks go by and you call back to the big company. You're like, hey, is Mark there? Mark no longer works here. Let me get you to Catherine. Okay, hey, Catherine, I was talking to Mark. Mark doesn't work anymore. Let me review all your stuff. And they kind of get it right, but not really, because Mark didn't put all the stuff in that he's supposed to. And now you got Catherine, right? Catherine's doing fine, get you to this point, and then you have to go and do some other things. 3 weeks later, you call back, and hey, can I get Catherine? She doesn't work here anymore. You're going to get, is Mark there? Can we just go back to Mark? Like, Mark knew me. We were bros. He had my case. He promised all these things. Like, I don't know who Mark is or Catherine he is. My name is Jill, and I'm here to help you. What do you need? I need Mark. Where's Mark? Can you just go find Mark? Anybody been there? Right? Like, we've all been there, right? You're like, why can there just be one person that has me? You know what the good news is? You're never gonna call heaven and ask for Jesus and God say, he doesn't work anymore. I don't know where Jesus is. Do you have another, maybe Moses? Do you want Elijah? Do you want somebody else? Never gonna happen. Every time you call heaven, you're gonna get Jesus. And Jesus knows your story. He knows where you've been. He's the one that got you out of that mess. He's the one that's standing on your behalf. He's the one pleading for you. You always get Jesus, and Jesus always lives forever. He's not replaceable. He's not getting replaced. That's such good news that our guarantee is backed by the one who lives forever. You never have to deal with anybody else but the Lord Jesus, the one who knows you completely. So your salvation stands as long as Jesus lives. And I think it's pretty good. It stands. But then the next thing we think about this guarantee, how is it guaranteed? Well, because Jesus saves to the uttermost. And I want you to just feel this. Jesus doesn't save you almost, he saves you to the uttermost. And some of you feel like Jesus has saved me some, and he saved me a little, and he's still kind of working this out, and I'm really unsure. And what the writer, what the preacher wants to say is, nuh-uh, Jesus has saved you utterly, completely. There's nothing more that needs to be added to your salvation. You are completely saved in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why it's guaranteed, because he saved you to the uttermost. So just notice the words. Verse 23 says this, or I'm sorry, verse 25. Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. In other words, consequently, this better covenant, this salvation, this guarantee, consequently, it means he's able to save you to the uttermost. I love that word, he is able to save. Because the truth is, you're not able to do it. You're not able to save yourself. Have you ever needed somebody to come and do something you couldn't do? Like maybe you try to lift something, you're like, man, I gotta call somebody, right? Because I'm not able to do this, I need to call somebody. Or maybe you have like middle school math and your kid brings it home and they're like, daddy, can you help me? And then you look at it and you're like, I've never seen that before in my life. What do they teach at the school? I've never seen math like this. I know numbers and I know lines, but the way those numbers and lines, I don't know what that is, son. So I'm sorry. Like G knows at this point, don't even call dad because he's not able, just can't do it. So he's gonna go to other dad named YouTube, right? And type in, somebody on there is able to walk him through this problem because they know their stuff, I don't. Right? We need people that are able, and we can't do things. And here's the good news. Well, the bad news first. You're not able to save yourself. And some of you are still trying. You're like, well, I'm going to church. I'm trying hard. I'm doing good. I'm working at this. We got to baptize Matthew. Tried that for a long time. And I'm trying and doing. And then you get to the point and you realize, you know, I'm not able to save my, I'm not able to be good. I'm not able to do enough things. And you know what? I need somebody who is able. I need to turn to somebody else. And that somebody else is the Lord Jesus. He is able to save you. He can actually do it. He's both God and Savior, which means he can handle your life. I know you think it's really complicated. He can handle it, I promise. He's got the whole world in his hands. He can handle you and all your stuff. He's able to save. Not just is he able to save, but he's able to save to the uttermost. I love that word uttermost. Kent Hughes kind of helped me like navigate through the Greek of what exactly that uttermost word means. First of all, it's a complex word. It's kind of putting two concepts together. The first one means completeness. So you're saved completely. But then there's this other realm of this word that also means forever, eternally. So it's not just you're saved completely and eternally. NLT says, once and forever. That's your salvation. Hey, when you came to Christ, you were saved once and forever. Like you were saved that moment, once saved, and now you have been saved forevermore. This idea of to the uttermost, it's complete. There is nothing lacking. Jesus doesn't save you almost. He saves you to the uttermost. Like there's nothing more past that. You can't go past the uttermost. It is the uttermost. That's as far as it gets. That's the most that you need. Jesus is your full and final and absolutely complete salvation. He saves to the uttermost. So how is he able to save us to the uttermost? Well, we see that word able to save. It's actually in the present tense, which one scholar, Raymond Brown, says this. It means that he saves us not only in the moment of initial commitment, but day by day and moment by moment. So it is true that Christ saved you on the cross. When he died and rose again, he paid the penalty for your sin. When you believed in him, you were saved by his blood. That's a one-time thing. But you know what this able to save in the present tense? It means Jesus hasn't just left you now. No, right now, day by day, moment by moment, he is still in your life, continuing to save you. And he will continue to save you until you make it into glory with him at the end. Like we have this idea of salvation where we can look at it really in three parts. We have, first of all, if you've been saved, that means you've been justified. When you claim Christ, he justified you. You were saved in the past. But then right now, there's ongoing sanctification. You are currently being saved right now. And this is what the preacher really wants us to think about in this intercession work of Christ. He's saving you right now, presently, moment by moment. We're gonna see that vividly here in a moment. And then Jesus also will save you. In the end, if you're in him, he will save you. It's to the uttermost. It's guaranteed. It's complete and it's forever. He has saved you. He is saving you and he will save you. That's why we hold on to doctrines like security of the believer. If you're a believer, you are secure. Why? Because it's guaranteed by Christ and he's already done it to the uttermost. He who began is gonna finish because it's his good work. So the question is, okay, how? How does he save me completely then? Well, the text says, since he always lives to make intercession for them. You know how he can save you completely? Because he always lives. He's never gonna run out. His guarantee doesn't run out. I told you about that sweet warranty that I bought with my van. 120,000 miles, whatever happens, covered. So we're driving to JV state championship last year, heading through Central City, and all of a sudden the van just goes nuts. Like, gas doesn't work, all the gauges don't work, it is dying on the side of the road. Luckily, I make it like to a gas station, I get there, try to figure it out, something is bad wrong with the van, I'm like, no worries, I got a warranty, right? I look down at the little mile counter. Guess how many miles is on it? 121,000. Yeah, 1,000 more than I bought a warranty for. Like literally 1,000 miles less, everything's good, everything's on some warranty guy's dime. No. Now 1,000 miles out of it, guess who's paying for all of it? The dead van is now on me. I've got to finish. I got to complete this thing. I'm like, 1,000? Like, what's the luck, right? Remember, I was skeptical on warranties. The guy probably knew. Guess what? 121, bad thing's going to happen. Nothing's going to happen 120. We got this, right? Here's the good news about Jesus. Your warranty lasts way past 120,000. It lasts forever. It never ends. It never stops. Why? Because Jesus is always alive. He's always there. When you call him, he picks up. There's no replacement. It's him always. Jesus has you to the uttermost because he always lives. What is he doing right now as he's living? It's a cool, such a cool part. He's making intercession for you right now. Like this is such a cool thought that right now, yes, Jesus died for you 2,000 years ago. Amazing, praise God. He didn't have to, but he did. But some of us think Jesus died for me. That was awesome. Now I've believed in him. Now I'm just kind of walking this life out. Just kind of figuring it out now. Like, thanks Jesus for this gift. Now let me walk in it. Let me try hard and do good. And I hope to see you in heaven one day. Don't forget about me. And here's what we learn from this text. That, do you know why you're saved to the uttermost? Because Jesus didn't stop when he rose from the dead. No, ever since, he's been seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for his bride. He is speaking to his heavenly Father on your behalf and on my behalf right now, day by day, moment by moment, everything you're going through, Jesus is there interceding for you. I get asked to intercede for people all the time. You'll text me, hey, can you pray for this? I'll just find a situation that comes up and I'll call you and say, hey, can I pray for this? You come to me, hey, can you pray for so-and-so? I love, that was the priestly work. You intercede for people. You do work on behalf of you before God. I want to pray. And how much better is it that Jesus is praying for you? Like, how much better is it? I promise you, his are never half-hearted prayers. His are never forgotten, and he tells you, and then he goes away and forgets. No, he always comes through. He is interceding for you. He is speaking on your behalf before his heavenly Father. It's an amazing thing. Yeah, he saved you, but he's currently saving you right now. He's currently keeping you as living and interceding on your behalf. So why do we need someone to intercede on us? Well, I mean, we kind of know, right? We're pretty messed up, right? We know all the gauges on our, like, we are messed up people, so we need him to constantly intercede for us. But one of the reasons we need someone to intercede for us is because we have an accuser who loves to accuse us. Satan is the great accuser that we see in Revelation chapter 12. And we see in Revelation chapter 12, I'll read it in verse 10, it says this, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down. That's the victory that Christ has had. What does this accuser do? He accuses them day and night before God. That's what Satan loves to do. He loves to accuse you to you and you to God. He's the accuser. He's telling God all the bad things that you've done, all the bad things you are doing. He tells you all the bad things you're doing, all the bad things you have done. He's accusing you day and night. And you can imagine, like Satan, imagine him going up to God and be like, hey, have you seen so-and-so? Did you see what she did? Did you see what he posted? Did you see what he thought? Did you see what she, yeah, we can see all of, did you see this? Look at who this person is. They say they follow you, but look what they're doing. They say they love you. You know the last time they read their Bible? It's been a little bit. I've been watching. Hey, God, you say, I've got their life. I've got their mess. I've got their junk. Hey, just let me bring it. Let me bring a case before them to you, God. And the problem is it's all true. How many times do we blow it? How many times are we half-hearted? How many times do we not wake up loving God? We wake up loving ourselves. How many times do we let our Bible sit for days? How many times do we do so many things that we know we're not supposed to do? We know that would break God's heart, but we do it anyways because we love it more than God in those moments. And so all these things are true. All these accusations are true. So they come to God, but they can't get to God without going through Jesus. And Jesus is interceding for us. And here's all these accusations, all these terrible things you've done. Jesus says, yeah, that's right. I saw them too. Let me rewind the tape and show you the cross and the empty tomb. Because all of those things so-and-so did, they are all paid in full at the cross. Because notice, check out, I love what this verse says. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. How do you conquer the accusations of Satan before God and you? It's by the blood of the Lamb. Not saying, well, I'm good, I'm doing better, I'm trying harder. No, no, no. Yes, all those things are true, but also Jesus died for me and rose again for me. Therefore, I'm forgiven and free. Satan, you have nothing on me that God doesn't know about and that Jesus didn't die for. So I'm good. You have Jesus interceding on your behalf right now before God. So yeah, a lot of stuff can be said about you. Jesus can handle all of that and say, I got that. I died for that. He's good. She's good. Not only do we have Jesus interceding on all those accusations, but Jesus also prays for us. I love this idea of Jesus praying for us. We see it even in the gospel where Jesus would pray for Peter. Luke 22 says this, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat, but I've prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. Jesus looks at Peter. Hey, I've got news. Satan wants you. He's going to come after you. And I just want to be honest. He's going to tempt you to walk away from me. You're going to deny me. You're going to do all these things. And I just want you to know that I'm praying for you. And here's my prayer that your faith doesn't fail. I've got you. I'm praying for you. And when you return, when it all, so he can already say, because I'm praying for you, you will make it. Not, hey, and if you return, no, when you come back, because I know you will, because I'm praying for you and my prayer will bring you back. When you come back, strengthen the rest of the brothers. See, church, we can take comfort that Jesus is praying for us right now. I know you're going through something right now that you feel like you can't get through. I know you might be in a marriage that you feel like this is not gonna work. You got some problems with kids. I don't know how we're gonna make it through this. You got a problem at work, a problem with a buddy. Something's happened. You got an addiction you can't break. There's all these things that are happening in your life and you're wondering, man, I know the cross is true, but I don't really know where God is right now. Jesus is praying for you right now to a Father who loves you, and he's praying that your faith is going to hold, and because of his prayer, it will. Because you've been saved to the uttermost, and he's got you. He's praying for you right now. So whatever you're going through, know Jesus Christ is praying for you to the Father on behalf of you. That's what he's doing. You know why? Because he is your advocate. Notice John 1, 2 says this, or 1 John 2, 1 says this, my little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Hey, I'm writing these things so you'll stop sinning. You're a saint of God. You shouldn't wallow in mud. But when you do, because it's going to happen, you have an advocate with the Father. His name is Jesus Christ, and he's righteous. So when you blow it, and you're going to, don't run, don't hide, don't cover up, don't live in shame and live in guilt. Come to Jesus, who is your advocate before the Father, who has cleansed your sin, who has died for your sin, and he's not advocating on a father who doesn't love you. The Father loves you. The Father sent Jesus to die for you. He's advocating because you have a Father who's also just and holy. So if anyone has a problem, we're saying, no, 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 Jesus. The holiness of God stands. The justice of God stands because sinners can come into the presence of God because they've been made saints through the blood of Christ. Sin is dealt with. So you can come to Jesus as your advocate. You can confess those sins and you can move on past them. So I just want to feel this weight that Jesus is praying for you, that Jesus is interceding for you. That's why he can say you're saved to the uttermost, because Jesus didn't just rise from the dead and then say, I hope you make it. Every moment of your life, day by day, moment by moment, Jesus is looking at you. He is concerned with you. He is pleading for you. And he is, by his grace, making sure that you make it all the way to the end. And he says, I guarantee it. He's got you. So the question is, who does Jesus save to the uttermost? Who are these people? We see it's those who draw near to God through him. Who does these promises and guarantee belong to? It's those who draw near to God through him. See, he's dealing with a little congregation that wants to go back to Judaism, wants to go back to the law and priest and tabernacle and temples. And he says, if you do, you're drawing near to God through religion, and religion can give you a sense of salvation. It can maybe mitigate your guilt and shame, but it can't save you and it can't cleanse you. Only when you draw near to God through Christ do you not just get to the door, you get in the room and you get completely forgiven, completely free, and you are saved to the uttermost now and forevermore. So the question for you and also for me is, are you drawing near to God through Christ? Are you truly in this thing because of Jesus? If not, I'm coming to church, I'm trying hard, I'm doing good, I'm believing the right things, holding the right views. No. It's, I've repented to believe in Christ, and I'm holding on to Christ, and it's only Christ. See, when you draw near to God through Christ, you are saved to the uttermost, and it's guaranteed because it's all on Jesus and none on you. And you don't want to be like 50-50. Or 90-10, or 99-1. You want it to be 100% Jesus. If it's not you, I'm done for. Because we know our problems. So that's the question. Are you drawing near to God through Christ? We get a little information of who is Christ, which you know these things, but he just wants to kind of make sure that this little church knows, hey, Jesus is better. You know why? Well, it says, for it is fitting that we should have such a high priest. He's holy, innocent, unstained, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. You can't get a better priest than that. He's all of those things. Holy, unstained, innocent, separated from sinners, and by the way, exalted above the heavens. So do you want another guy? Like, do you want another person to hold your salvation? Or do you want this guy who is Jesus? Hold on to the right priest, because Jesus doesn't need a sacrifice. Verse 27 says this, he has no need, like those high priests offer sacrifices daily for his own sin and then for those of the people, since he did this once for all when he offered up himself. Every other priest that these people would have dealt with, they're also sacrificing for their own sins. They're blowing it. They're messing up. They're yelling at their wives. They're making bad moves. They're lying. They're doing the same stuff. They're having to make sacrifices for their own sin and also the sin of the people. And they're having to continue it because it never truly cleanses. It just pushes it forward. Then Jesus comes along and one, he doesn't have to give a sacrifice for his own sin because he has none. He's sinless. He doesn't have to give a sacrifice. But then here's the mind-blowing thing that we're going to get into in the next few weeks. Jesus doesn't bring a sacrifice. He is the sacrifice. It's him. Not a bull, not a goat, not a lamb. No, he as the Lamb of God gives his very life. He's the sacrifice. It's a better sacrifice. It's a permanent sacrifice. And then we land on that Jesus is stronger. Verse 28, for the law appoints men in their weakness as high priest. But the word of the oath, which came later than the law, appoints a son who has been made perfect forever. So the law has a bunch of priests because they're all weak. They all die. They all can't do it. But the oath, the promise, God's choice comes because there is one who is the son who is stronger, and he is the permanent guarantee of our salvation. So I want two lines to be in your minds as you get ready to walk out in just a few moments. Two lines. The first line is this: Jesus is the guarantee of a better covenant. I want you to just know that. Like, Jesus is the guarantee, and he's a good guarantee. He's a perfect guarantee. He's gonna get me all the way to the end. And the next line is, Jesus is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him. So Jesus is your guarantee, and I know we're a little skeptical. We don't have to be skeptical of this guarantee. It is a warranty that will hold because it's based on Jesus, and Jesus is perfect. He's exalted above the heavens, and Jesus don't die. So you have a guarantee for your salvation. And if you're in Christ, I just want you to feel this. You've been saved, not almost, you've been saved to the uttermost. You've not been saved a little bit, you've been saved all of it. You haven't been saved some, you've been saved completely, because that's what Jesus's work does. It saves us to the uttermost. I want to invite the band to come up as we land the plane, because we're going to have a song of response. And I told you at the beginning, I'm not a warranty guy, but in the spring, I bought another truck. And I went in, and I told Katie this time, I'm not buying the warranty. I'm just not doing it. So I go in, we get the truck. It's got like a little under 70,000 miles. So I'm like, this truck should last. I don't need a warranty. It's fine. And then Logan's like, all right, that's good. But you know, it's got those twin turbos and they go out sometimes. I'm like, oh man, like, okay. All right, tell me about this. What's got this and this and maybe Katie, you know, this. And I'm like, fine. I'll buy the warranty. I didn't want to. I didn't like it. I left a little bit mad about it, but I bought it. But you know what? When I drove off, and I've been driving it since, I have this huge peace of mind. Like, I kind of want something to blow up. I'm like, just blow up or just do something, because, man, I want to, like, take it back and be like, fix it. Put a new one in it. Like, I just feel good about it. I'm just driving around like, this thing's indestructible until it gets to the 120. Then I'm going to be a little worried, but we're good now. But you know why I have that just peace? Because I bought the warranty. And so here's where kind of the rubber meets the road. Jesus is a guarantee of a better covenant. He saves to the uttermost. But you actually have to buy the warranty. And what does that mean? You can't pay for it. You can't afford it. But you do have to accept what he's done for you in order to have a guarantee, in order to be saved to the uttermost. And so what does that look like for you to accept his guarantee, his warranty for your life? You have to believe in the gospel, that you're a sinner, you've blown it, you've messed up before God, you have no hope for heaven outside of Christ. But Jesus lived the life that you couldn't, and he died the death that you deserve, and he rose from the dead, and he ascended into heaven to defeat your sin and defeat your death so that you could have life in his name and righteousness. So you believe those things. I can't, he did. And then in believing those things, you repent and believe in the gospel. To repent, it means you're going in this direction, you're trusting in self, you're believing in self, you're trying hard, you're living your own life, and you realize this is not what I want. And instead, you do a 180 and you turn to Jesus and you say, Jesus, I want you. I want your righteousness. I want your life. I want you to become my Lord and treasure. You turn from you and you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And when you do, here's what Jesus promises. When you put your faith and trust in him, he will save you not almost. He'll save you to the uttermost. So have you accepted the guarantee? Have you accepted the gift that Jesus offers you? And if not, why not today? We're gonna sing. I'll be up here. Joey's gonna be up here. We have some counselors up here. They'd love to talk to you about Jesus. For the rest of us who have that guarantee, who've been saved to the uttermost, let's sing, because it's time to worship the Lord for what he's done. I'm gonna pray and you respond how you need to. Father, we love you so much. We thank you for Jesus. Father, I pray that you would help us to respond now to your word according to your spirit. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
You're listening to audio from Hardin Baptist Church. For more audio content or other information about our church, please visit hardinbaptist.org.